I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There's a great opportunity every last preseason game. Every year that I've been here, there's things that have changed in that last preseason game that have kind of told us one thing or another, or maybe injuries. Not only for, you know, our team, but, you know, there's guys, I think, that have done things in that last preseason game that have ended up on other teams just because of their performances. So, and there's certainly guys that, you know, that we've gone out and gotten from other teams on that because of that last preseason game.
That's Brian Gutekunst over Roxette. This is the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. 105.7FMTheFan.com. You can also get us on 1250 AM in the radio.com app. Joining us now up in Green Bay, 1265, it's Mike Clemens on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Mike, right there, he talks about Brian Gutekunst, Packers general manager, talks about guys that can make a case for themselves in this last preseason game. The one that I remember is like you said, James Crawford last year on special teams, making that impact and making the team.
Yeah, that's an excellent example. There's other guys that flash in camp and then they don't make it. Like, remember Vic Soto?
Mm-hmm.
A linebacker, you know, he's here and then he flashed out and those kinds of things. I think there's guys that had a strong start to this camp that Danny Vitale, the fullback, I mean, boy, you thought he was a shoo-in 2 weeks into camp. Then he misses 2 weeks of camp with a calf injury, and he's not messing around, you know, after his experience with the Browns. It's like he knows he's got to get some time in this game tonight to show he can do tonight what he did at the start of camp.
Mike, for you, if it comes down to it, how are they able to do this on the offensive side? Because they know that they're going to have to make a decision there at left guard. How are you going to cut Lane Taylor for just $3 million?
Well, you know, like we talked about the other day, too, I think that, you know, you've got such a gift at experience and offensive line, and that's one of the things that, you know, I've always been told is so important. And you can't, I can't believe you've gone from Chad Clifton and Mark Tauscher for 10 years, and now you've almost had Bulaga and the best in the business with David Bakhtiari, left tackle, at those guys. And you got Corey Linsley in his third or fourth year. And then you bring in experience with Billy Turner with 65 games out of Denver. Now, you know, what am I missing? So you bench Lane Taylor and you bring in Elton Jenkins to start the rookie. So you still got Justin McCray. So all those guys would have 2-3 years of experience, and that would be a tremendous offensive line. But people say, no, you're nuts. They're not going to pay a guy $3 million to be a backup. Well, you know, Brian Bulaga, I mean, that can happen. That knee can go out at any time. And so, I think that would be a shame to lose that core of guys on the offensive line. But I'll tell you what, this coaching staff, every time you just bring up the topic of offensive line, they find a way to slip in the name Elton Jenkins, the rookie, and a left guard every chance they get. And I'm beginning to wonder, since they've, you know, kicked us out of practice the last couple of weeks, so we don't actually know when they get to the team drills who the starters are, who's running with the first team, is this might be a little bit of a shell game that they're playing for the Bears. You know, have, because we're guessing this much, and we see them every day. That's also got to make Chuck Pagano got to wonder, what the hell are they going to do at left guard against us opening night?
That's a great question, because like Leroy and I have been talking about all afternoon, I do not want to see a second-round pick having to line up against Akeem Hicks,
No. One
of the best defensive linemen in all of football, for his first NFL regular season snap.
No. And then, of course, the big thing that everybody can focus on and is, can Tim Boyle continue his success that he's had over DeShone Kizer? And the reason that DeShone Kizer, they're almost defensive of DeShone Kizer is because he's the better athlete. He's got the number two arm in camp. It's just that he's back there and he gets to the line and the ball snapped and he's looking and he either starts to run too early he's a smart kid, but he almost seems to overthink it. I don't know if you heard some of his comments earlier on the show today.
Yeah, it was great stuff.
Yeah, you know, and so that's the point I'm making, where Boyle is just, you know, he's got the third best arm in camp, but he just gets it done. You know, he just seems to react to the play and move the ball down the field. So then you talk to the quarterback coach, to Luke Getsy and say, well, look, Tim Boyle has outscored DeShone Kizer 45-10 in the preseason. I mean, isn't this a done deal?
It's an everyday evaluation, and whether it's the way they handle themselves in the meeting, whether the way they handle themselves in practice, it's hard to compare apples to apples within a preseason game when you're playing with different people and you're playing against different people. But that still is part of it, because there's still that element of getting a play call and going and executing a play call. So there's no doubt that that's a part of the evaluation.
That's a long-winded answer for saying, we know, but we just maybe don't know.
Right. So then the other thing, talking about offense tonight, Dexter Williams, draft pick, I think he's on the bubble. He's got to beat Trey Carson, who's just been more consistent running with the football, and now they have to project, well, if we keep the kid that we picked in the draft, you know, how much longer are we going to have to wait where he's going to do a better job of picking up the offense and pass protection? Or will Vitaly be healthy enough at the fullback position? Mm-hmm. So if we're doing 21 personnel, we've got that guy. And then, of course, they'll know what everyone will enjoy tonight is what's going to happen at wide receiver. Do they keep six of them?
Yeah.
Do they keep Devontae, MVS, Geronimo, Kumaro, Trevor Davis? He had to have earned a spot with, you know, that performance he had. Let me tell you about Trevor Davis, too. Now, LaFleur told us the day after the Raiders game, when they got back from Winnipeg, he said, you know, I've made some mistakes. This is stuff that Rodgers has talked about. He goes, I called a play last night in Winnipeg, and I got a formation wrong. And so he said, Tim Boyle, you know, he cups his hands over his helmet to hear it. He got it. He got to the line, and then he realized I'd made the mistake. So he said he changed the guys. He made them switch at the line because he knew what I intended. It's just I gave him the wrong words. The quarterback, Tim Boyle, made the correction, and he ended up getting a first down with Trevor Davis on an 11-yard pass. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you're looking for. So, Trevor helped his case, obviously, with his performance this camp. Does that mean Darius Shepherd is out? Because he'd be the seventh one. Equanimeous St. Brown has got the high ankle sprain right now. I don't see how Jamon Moore gets back into the conversation. And I don't think Alan Lazard, number 13, 6'5", is going to be in the game tonight. But he's made a solid case that, you know, he takes Jamon Moore's spot in that receiver core.
Yeah, I mean, if people haven't heard your one-on-one interview with Shepherd, it was amazing. I mean, all your interviews, the one-on-ones, not with all the media around, the ones you and the player, they're spectacular because you can learn about these guys thinking. But, Mike, let me ask you this. Go back in the 90s, I'll say, well, 80s too, normally a draft pick would get really first right of refusal to get more looks than an undrafted guy. Maybe that's what's going on with DeShone Kizer, because they said, well, you know, it's a second round pick. We traded for him for Demaryius Randle. We're going to stick it because it'll make us look bad. I mean, or you know what? We can't cut a guy like Jamon Moore. It's a draft pick. We can't cut, they just cut a second round pick. So do you think that's going out of the window now that they'll just cut you regardless of where you were drafted? If they need that spot, the best man will win.
I think they're following Bill Belichick's lead, Leroy. This guy, he admits he makes mistakes in the draft too, and he throws them out. He doesn't worry about it. It's about the wins. It's about the wins.
Absolutely.
And you better not be worried about, oh, God, I look bad, you know, making picks or so. On the way up, I was talking to John Dodds. He does stats, you know, for the network and stuff. And I said, you know, this Tim Boyle, he's got a little bit of Matt Hasselbeck in him. And I told people Matt Hasselbeck could be a starter, and people said, oh, come on. You know, because they saw him play in the fourth quarter in the preseason. I said, have you talked to this kid, how smart he is?
Yeah.
And I was right about that. And you know that the Packers, when they traded for Matt Hasselbeck, they gave up a draft pick. And you know who Mike Sherman went out and got? Jamal Reynolds.
Mm.
Yep.
That's what you got for Matt Hasselbeck, Jamal Reynolds.
Mike,
one of their biggest draft busts.
Is it puzzling to you with the Reggie Gilbert trade yesterday that you were able to get a seventh round pick for a guy that 2 years ago went undrafted, and then you brought on and had to fight for him to make the roster at the 53? You keep him for 2 years, you can trade him for a seventh round pick, but you couldn't get anything for a former Pro Bowler in Mike Daniels or Josh Jones, a second round pick.
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it too is that, and by the way too, Reggie Gilbert, you know, that's pending physical because he's missed about 10 days or so with a knee injury.
Okay.
As well. So you know, that's kind of up in the air. You know, Reggie, too, is a guy who definitely flashed 2 years ago. And then, you know, Patton just didn't use him that much. And yet he had, like, the highest percentage of every time he did get in the game last year, he had the highest percentage of coming up with a tackle on the play. But you know, he they're so stacked now with what they spent in free agency at that position.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kyler Fackrell might be bringing up the end of that. And there's this Ramsey kid, too. Randy Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
He might have an outside chance of that or practice squad. So I think that's what, you know, Goody must have been thinking about. And I also know the Titans had a shortage of that position, so that's why they're willing to give up something in order to get Reggie Gilbert. So that's a pretty good deal for them. I was beginning to think, though, you know, that if Reggie Gilbert was getting a little bit of that J'Ron Elliott disease.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How come you flashed for a year and a half, and now you're here in your third year, and you're just sort of there? Now, J'Ron ended up getting some time with the Cowboys. Yeah, but it's like they just kind of fall out of formation sometimes.
Mike, final thing for you. Is my man Kadar Holman on this football team?
Yeah, I think he makes it. Yeah.
Perfect. Good.
Yeah, makes too many plays and all that. And I think it's going to be Tony Brown out there, man. He's going to be out there with some of these guys. And, I think they're good at there. And you know what, Leroy, you talk about that thing about, boy, we don't want to embarrass ourselves, so we have a high draft pick.
Yep.
The next one on the list to go is Kevin King. Mm. I mean, he's got to bring it around.
Could that happen, Mike, before the trade deadline this year?
I know, it's tough to say. I'm sure they want to get him on the field one more time to just see. You know, of all the things that have happened during the Ted Thompson era, there's only a handful of players that you say, wow, that guy actually had a pretty good career.
Mm-hmm.
Monte Leach.
Yeah.
I thought he was a tough-nosed fullback. But
no
they,
doubt.
They moved on from him. Well, he went on and played for the Ravens, got a Super Bowl ring.
Yep.
But there's not too many other players. Will Blackman, boy, they waited and they waited for him. He ended up returning punch for the Giants and got a Super Bowl ring. If he hadn't had those foot injuries, he was like Charles Woodson Jr. He could do everything. He could play receiver, corner, very smart, you know. But I understood they did that. I also understood when they moved on from Casey Hayward. It didn't look like, wow, this kid's ever going to come around. Well, now they regret that move. So maybe that's one thing that's in the back of their mind when they're thinking about.
What about Mason Crosby real quick? You think they ever move on from him and Lane Taylor?
Maybe they hold on to two kickers until they play the Bears. I mean, this.
That's what I said. They probably will.
They're big on the Sam Ficken kid, Lori. I mean, when he kicked that 63-yarder, Mason's calf suddenly felt better, and he's out on the practice field the next day.
Mike, appreciate it, man. We'll hear all the great stuff tomorrow, all right?
Thank you, Big Show.
That's Mike Clemens. Mike Clemens, NFL,
best,
on Twitter, where you want to follow him. He really is. And the best part about Mike during the games that I like is when you follow him on Twitter. Because, yeah. Leroy, you know this on Twitter. Like, yeah. All the dudes up there in the press box, because that's where all the cool kids sit. Just
right.
Ask them. So when they're up there, you see 37 go down. 37, Josh Jackson has just been injured.
Yeah.
75 guys tweet it.
Yeah.
He walks off the field. Josh Jackson walked off on his own power. 75 guys tweet it. Mike Clemens will say something like, you know, that brings number 36, Kadar Holman, into the nickelback spot. Watch him.
Yes.
He'll be on the field next. It gives you the insight instead of just, hey.
Don't state the obvious.
Right. Awesome. Thanks, Captain Obvious. Yeah. I am actually
watching
the game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.